Welcome, Blah Blah Sports. Finally getting around to talking about No Mercy. As always, it's your host, Benny, alongside Sean.
What do you want? I'm pissed.
And we'll ask him that in a second. And Steven.
What's happening, everybody?
So Sean, why are you upset?
Because I broke my pen.
Why did you break
your
pen?
I need this because when we screw up, I need to write down the time codes. And
so you don't have any other pens?
No, I do, but this is my favorite one. And
oh my god.
I use it for the show and now it's broken.
So wait, is it like is ink everywhere?
No, I just snapped off the clip thing.
Oh, well, can you still use the pen?
Yeah, I can still use it, but I like the clip thing.
Because you flick the clip thing around, I guess?
Yeah, sure.
So you just twiddle the pen in your fingers?
That's what I'm doing right now.
Instead of...
Oh, God.
Okay. All right.
This is going to be a good show.
This is going to be a good show, because we're going to go off some tangents here. We have a lot to talk about on the rundown, but as first, we always start with the recap of No Mercy. Of course, we're doing this a little bit later. It's been two SmackDowns. And since No Mercy, and you know, for the most part, you know, I went up to see No Mercy at Steve's place. Steve, thank you very much for having me over. It was an interesting show. I always talk about it on Facebook with my post, but it was certainly a very odd show. It was laid out very weird. They started with a triple threat. They started with that triple threat, and they ended with a match I didn't think they were going to end with. But for as weird as it was, I don't think it was terrible. I think it definitely wasn't Backlash.
How much of it do you remember?
I remember a lot of it, to be honest with you.
That's not what I heard.
halfway through the paper, I think we got to, what match was it? Let me see what match was it. It was probably around Swagger and Corbin. I started doing a Shane McMahon impression, so...
Oh, I haven't heard this.
Terrible. It's terrible. And then I was doing my Bray Wyatt, and I was like, what was it? Bray Wyatt joined us. It was crazy. But, before we get into jokes and everything aside, let's dive right into the pre-show and talk about the debut of Eva Hawkins or Curtis Murray or whatever we call him. They're taking the Eva Marie gimmick and they're placing on Curt Hawkins. And, you know, with Eva Marie, it kind of worked because it was this big overdone thing. But with Curt Hawkins, his gimmick is so goofy, I don't think it really works. Does anyone want to do it? Do you want to talk about this or you just want to, like, breeze
past
this? How
much money they spent on that thing? Like, he had pyro. That's not cheap.
Yeah, pyro, he had a staff. He has the Hardy's H on his pants.
What's the going rate of firing off fireworks? Like 70, isn't it like 75,000 or something like that?
Oh, at least, if not more.
Damn, and he got all that? Wow, they must be really high on this guy.
Yeah, so he wasn't even on SmackDown the next night.
They want to bring back the Major Brothers. That's what this is all about.
That was an awful segment. That was maybe one of the worst things I've seen all year.
It was terrible.
His segment on No Mercy, it's just... shook my head. At one point, what did they? They used the Scott Steiner siren. Remember that?
Yeah.
What was it? Everyone looked right at the ramp. Like you can almost see like everyone in the audience just look at the ramp. Like there's no way he's here.
I don't think the kids remember Scott Steiner.
But when Joe, Benny, and I were watching it, we heard that we all turned and went, Scott? Like what?
I just about spit out my beer. I was like, wait, there's no way he's going to be in this arena. There's no way. I thought at first I thought they like Kevin Dunn's tooth hit the wrong button again, but oh man. Bizarre, we'll say bizarre start to the show. But that was something that was indicative of what was to come. Another pre-show match they had, or actually the only pre-show match they had, was a 4-on-4 mush together tag match. The Vaudevillains apparently are still employed. I don't care. I mean, it was just another tag match. Anyway, any talks about the pre-show, we'll move right to the main card.
It happened.
It happened.
Yeah, it did. It was a thing.
Once again, it happened, and I feel for the people that had to sit through that. All right, main card. They started with an odd. They started with a little bit of a shock to our system. We got the email probably about 15 minutes before the pay per view.
You got an email?
They sent. How come I didn't get an email? The WWE sent an email out
to everyone.
Yeah, to like all the people that had a subscription.
Are you saying I'm not important enough to get an email?
I guess not.
The only reason I found out about that was because, Benny, you and Joe got to my house, and it was the first thing you told me.
Yeah, well, I was driving up with Jobo, and Jobo tells me that they're opening with the title match, and I was like, no, they're not. No, stop. And we get, what was it? Probably about 15 minutes out of Steve's house. And all of a sudden we get the email and it says it's happening. And I was like, what's going on here? So yeah, they opened with the title match. They said, I don't know the rationale behind it.
Oh, I know exactly the rationale. The debate.
It was the debate.
Okay.
Because the debate started at 9, I think. So by then the match would have been way over by then.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I guess it makes more sense to put it at the beginning of the card.
This is not live TV. A lot of people are probably going back to watch this show. They're not watching it live. Why do you feel like you have to put it on as if it is a live television program? Like, people are going to be tuning in, but you also have an on-demand service. People can go back and watch as opposed to watching it on TV. So why do you feel the need to do this and then give us a horrible main event?
I could have understood if they started with this and they main evented with the title versus career match. I could understand that, maybe. But you hit all the right points, Sean, when you said that. Like, this is something that people are going to go back and watch a couple of times. Maybe some people will watch it a couple of times. It doesn't make any sense for you to just make this like you're doing a Raw or SmackDown. This is a pay-per-view. You know, people are tuning in to this and they can go back and they can watch it whenever.
It's more than a pay-per-view. It's you can watch it on demand. You know, you never used to be able to do that before. And I guarantee you a lot of people did not watch the pay-per-view and instead watched the debate or watched whatever football game was going on and then went back and watched it later. Mm-hmm. And I just don't understand why you're making that such a big deal when in reality, that's not even how your business is structured.
And I think we'll get into this a little bit later. And Steve, I want your opinion on this as well. But like it would have, again, I think it would have made sense if they main evented with Ziggler and Miz, but they didn't. They main evented with something different, and we were sitting there scratching our heads as to why. I understand the main event had the debut, and Luke Harper showed up, but he's not – Luke Harper, as great of a talent as he is, and I'm not insulting him, he's not a retirement match, and he's not a title match. So – you kind of have to sit there and go, ugh. But Steve, I want your opinion on this, and then we'll keep talking about this as we go along.
I mean, I understood why they put it where they did because of the debate, obviously. The match itself, I thought was pretty damn good. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of good spots in there, but I enjoyed myself, and it made sense to me. But I do agree with Sean. Oh my God, we're being attacked. What is that?
I apologize. This always happens every time we record and I have my windows open.
Demons attack.
It's been a really nice like couple of days though in terms of weather. So
I hate it. I hate it. Should not be 80 degrees weather. In October.
I want fall.
Yeah, it should be 50.
I just put away all my shorts and I got my long pants out and I'm going to work. I'm not giving it up. I'm keeping the long pants out. So I'm not taking that all out again.
But now you got to rock.
Every day it's so hot.
You got to rock t-shirts or you got to rock beaters and you're walking around and you jeans and t-shirt and it's just like, you know, come on. Can we just get to the cold already? It's just me.
Let's move on to the
Yeah, but match was great, and again, we'll keep talking about it, but to start off a pay-per-view with something kind of this odd, it was a little bit of a shock to the system. Anyway, a match that was downgraded from a no-holds-barred match, and it looks like we're going to be seeing this feud go on for a little while, Nikki Bella versus Carmella. Now,
hold on. There was a point I wanted to make. I didn't get to talk about the match.
Oh.
The finish of the match I thought was kind of weird because
the submission.
No, not that part. The actual finish. I mean, they've done that double submission thing before in the past. But like, I thought it was weird that all it took to put down John Cena was a shot to the ribs with a chair and then a shot to the back with a chair. I've seen John Cena go down or get up from way worse. And that's what put him down. I thought that was a little awkward. Like, at least hit him with a finisher afterwards or continually hit him with the chair or something. But it just seemed kind of out of nowhere. And then it was kind of a weak finish.
So what you're saying is John Cena looked weak.
Yeah, and kind of. Yeah, he did.
To that point, they are going down this road, and I think we've hit on it before on the podcast. I know you have as well, that they're trying to make John Cena's next title reign like a redemption story almost. Like they're not going to have the worst year of his career, but it's approaching that level where he loses to AJ Styles twice. He loses to Dean Ambrose on television for the first time. What was it, like, first time since 2009 or 2007 or something along the lines of that. I kind of agree with you. The ending was kind of weird, and to the triple threats point, it's a no DQs match. So I always thought it was very confusing when like a heel like AJ Styles, who's supposed to be a smarter heel, waits till the end to break out a weapon.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's always a complaint when it comes to that situation, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal. But I just thought, you know, just get one chair shot to the gut and one chair shot to the back. Again, I've seen Cena come back from way, way worse.
Like, for instance, a DDT on a concrete.
Sure.
And then he goes back and, like two or three members of Nexus were still in the match?
Yeah, still two of them.
Cena, what are you doing? All right. Again, we'll keep talking about this because it was a consistent theme throughout the entire night. We kept thinking, like, why did they start with the title match? Okay, back to Nikki Bella moving ahead to Nikki Bella and Carmella. This feud, this past SmackDown, actually, it's gotten a little bit better. Carmella had a good promo against Nikki, but Carmella's still very awkward in the ring. You kind of can tell that, like, She's a good worker, but she's just not great. She's not gonna be able to carry a match right now. But there's potential there with her. I think being a heel is a little more comfortable for her. Nikki Bella, of course, the arena's gonna pop for her no matter what. This match itself was kind of okay. Its placement was odd to me. Again, I would have gone with Corbin and Swagger after this because that's a as they call it, a piss break match. This kind of had a little bit more of a story to it, so I would have probably put that into a better position. It's not much to talk about, really. I mean, it's whatever. You know,
I think Carmella is actually not a very good worker. She's actually very green. She was brought up a little too fast, but she was brought up out of necessity because they needed more women on the roster.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is like when she was drafted, it was kind of a shock to us because of all the people that were ready in that division, she wasn't really one of them.
I don't mind her character. Her character's fine, even though I think she's kind of annoying, but that's okay as a heel. But in the ring, she kind of got exposed against Nikki, and that's saying something because I think Nikki's also kind of sloppy. But yeah, it was nothing to write home about.
Steve, anything about Nikki Bella and Carmella?
The match was I was way more a fan of what she said about her on SmackDown. I was really digging that segment. I like when people go after Nikki and John because it's like, you know, they make a point. You guys can act all innocent and stuff or whatever, but, I mean, they have a valid point.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's no secret that Nikki Bella is where she is, potentially because of certain powers that be.
It definitely didn't hurt that she's dating John Cena.
No, it definitely didn't. And, you know, there is that thing where we look at the SmackDown on the Raw rosters and the current relationships. You know, this is one of the reasons why Del Rio and Paige are having issues, or were having issues. And, you know, when we saw Nikki Bella go to SmackDown and we saw John Cena was on SmackDown, you know, we understood that. We got it. You know, Dean Ambrose and Renee Young working primarily on Tuesday nights. We get it. We understand. As for the match, again, pretty much forgettable. As I said on Facebook, we were mainly making jokes about Emelina. That was about
we did the whole match.
We were making jokes about Emelina the entire time. Carmella, to me, as Sean, you alluded to, she's conditioned well enough to do some things. I do agree with you. I think she's very green, which is, again, why I said she's not going to carry matches anytime soon. I noticed that a lot when they were doing a Backlash where she was in the arm bar and her arm was just kind of like out there. She has a lot of work to do. And I don't think this match should have been here. Again, I think Nikki Bella is the right opponent for her, but I would have moved this match to a different portion of the card. So maybe it would have helped her a little bit. At least get the crowd riled up into it. Cause the crowd was kind of dead at that point. Coming off the title match, moving into the tag match, we all kind of thought this was going to be the Usos. I think we were sitting here expecting the Usos to win, and we got a little bit of a surprise, and it's a pleasant surprise to see Slater and Rhino hold on to the titles, to kind of see where the story goes. Steve, what did you think of this match?
I liked it. I mean, I had a feeling that they were going to keep running with Rhino and Slater. They can do a lot with them. And they're just really funny, and people like them. I'm sure that we'll see the titles on the heel Usos sooner rather than later, because it seems like with this new heel push, they're getting a lot of attention. And I like them as heels. I like that every week they change gangs. Like, I think they were Bloods at No Mercy, and then they were Crips the other week. they're just picking different gangs, I guess. I don't know if there's like a Samoan gang. Maybe there is the Ooses or something. I don't know.
The Ooses. The Ooses loose. Sean, I kind of enjoy the Usos as the heels they are. Again, they look very comfortable as heels. What'd you think of this match, and where do you see things going here?
I was surprised by the outcome. I also thought the Usos were gonna win, and a lot of that was because realistically, since Rhino and Heath Slater won the titles, they really hadn't been on TV all that much. And that was kind of a bad sign of things to come. However, the Usos were. In fact, they were doing like a little mini feud with American Alpha. The match was fine. I don't really remember too much about it, but it was. I just remember it being okay.
I don't remember much either.
I mean, I like the Usos' new heel character. I still would like them to get a microphone and talk. That's still one of the biggest things, is that they need to show some personality other than just like flashy clothing. But I think that at some point they will be able to express themselves on the microphone and hopefully have some sort of run with the tag titles once they're fully fledged as that top heel tag team role.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now I'm not sure what they're doing with Rhino and Heath Slater. For all we know, they could be defending against the Spirit Squad next. So, and the Usos weren't even on TV this past week. So I'm not quite sure what's going on with the tag division right now.
Yeah, SmackDown has gone taken a, I don't want to say a step back, but it looks like they don't exactly know where they want to go with things. I think that might partially be because their next pay-per-view is going to be Survivor Series, so they have an extra couple of weeks to plan. But
they might make a big show out of that Glasgow show. I don't know. I mean, I know they're having the women's title match there, but they might try to make that a big deal, which actually I think would be a mistake because we all know what happens November 8th.
What happens November 8th?
Are you an American, Benny? Are you American? Do you not know what November 8th is?
I swing and a miss here, Sean.
What kind of American does not know what day the country votes for their president?
Oh, the election. God.
Oh, my God.
I completely forgot it's November 8th.
You're off the team.
You're a disgrace.
I'm a disgrace. I'm un-American.
Go to Canada.
Go to Canada.
That was funny.
I completely forgot. Speaking
Sean's
of...
Sean's going to be so upset for the rest of the episode now.
Oh, he's going to be pissed.
My pen's broken. You don't know any dates.
My pen's broken. The title of this episode should be the day Sean's pen died.
November 8th, the day Sean's pen died.
No, my pen's okay. He's just got a broken leg.
He's just got a crippling injury.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of leg injuries... Jack Swagger versus Baron Corbin. I don't know where I was going with that one, but Jack Swagger versus Baron Corbin.
Yeah, that didn't work.
No, it didn't. Not at all. I you know, hold on. The Patriot Lock.
Ah, yeah.
Still doesn't work.
Almost, Benny. Almost.
Almost. This was terrible. I think it's definitely not. Sometime in January we're gonna have our awards that answer to the Slammies that actually get it correct. It definitely isn't the worst match I've seen all year. I still think Young versus Miz holds that point or place in my heart. But this just was boring. This was bad.
It went a long time, and they were.
It should have never have gone.
Like
that
they
long.
Were trying to focus on the hand. Like he I can't believe I even remember this. they were focusing on the hand, trying to, like, he was throwing it into the steps and everything to, like, not be able to do the Patriot Lock, and it just came off flat. Like, nothing. It was so forgettable.
It was between Jack Swagger, a guy the crowd just doesn't care about.
They like the slogan.
They like the slogan, yeah, we the
everyone
people.
Everyone says we the people, yeah.
Yeah, because they're American, that's why.
But then immediately after that, it's just like, who cares? And then, of course, Baron Corbin, I don't really know what to call what he has with the crowd because people don't hate him. They just don't care. And it's not like bad heat. It's just
it's not even
care.
Heat. It's not heat. Like
I don't want to see you. That's just whenever I see him, I'm like, I don't want to see him. He's boring.
Usually that's usually X-Pac heat. That's what they call, or white heat is another way to call it.
I guess. I mean,
but he doesn't get a reaction, so I don't even consider that a heat.
I don't even he is like one of the most perplexing things because it's clear the company likes him, but the crowd just doesn't care.
I don't care.
I don't know. Steve, Swagger and Corbin, I think at this point we were on beer number, 20-something?
Oh, I stopped counting. I just want everyone listening to the podcast to know, right now, this second, I just farted. And I'm enjoying it, and I am enjoying it more.
Is this Steve or Swagger. Jason? I can't tell.
I'm taking a page out of his book, but honestly, I just farted, and I'm enjoying it more than I enjoyed Swagger versus Corbin. Just breathing in my own brand.
Oh God!
Yeah, but yeah, no. The match was terrible, and I hate
this. I mean, we all kind of walked into this, and then of course Becky Lynch got the announcement that Becky Lynch was unable to wrestle. There, this kind of started to simmer the card down a little bit in terms of people getting excited for the stuff or the matches. But this match was like 7 minutes 30 seconds in a spot where I mean, you come off the tag match. People were excited, I guess, to see Slater and Rhino retain. I think we were more surprised. Again, this is where I would have put this match after the title match because people would have just gotten up and walked out, go to the bathroom, get their food. Because that title match went on for let me get the official time. It went on for almost 22 minutes. So kind of would have been nice to have this thing in there. People don't care. And then you move on. But all right, we're just going to move on from Swagger and Corbin because that was boring. Now we're going to go to a match that when we saw, Steve, I think me, you, Jobo, and your sister were there as well. And when we saw this match was going to happen now, I think all of us were like, wait, what the hell is going on? This isn't main eventing? Then what the hell is main eventing? And I think you had a look on your face of sheer horror when you figured out the main event was going to be Orton and Wyatt. And then as you said that, and I looked at you and I was like, dear God, this is going to be a train wreck.
Yeah, it slowly started to dawn on me, and I was just like, oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
Can't say that word, Steve.
Yeah.
What? I said, oh, boy.
Oh, I know. I know what word you wanted to say.
Yeah, I stopped it.
Oh, shush. At this point, I realized that whoever puts these cards together does not deserve to have a job, and that's just me. I feel like the person that
puts
these
cards together?
Oh, Sean.
Blames,
I would do a better job. I would have main evented with like Swagger and
Hey,
Corbin.
Those are your own words. That's what you said. I don't know who puts the cards together. That's just me. You're claiming to be the person.
Oh. Well, you know what I was saying. I don't know who puts the cards together, but they don't deserve to have a job. At this point I realize that they just don't care about pacing. They don't care about what matters. Like, this is something you end the night with. Miz versus Ziggler, and how great. I mean, again, that was a very good match. It had a story to it. Ziggler finally overcoming all the obstacles of his past, the Spirit Squad, Maurice getting involved, missed opportunities, and Ziggler overcoming that to win the title and keep his career. That's how you end a match, or that's how you end a night. What they should have done is they should have put Orton and Wyatt here and had the return of Luke Harper get anyone that was watching the debate, maybe scrolling through Twitter, see that Luke Harper returned and going, oh, Luke Harper's back. I'll go watch pay-per-view.
Yeah, because the people watching the debate are going to be like, oh my God, Luke Harper is back. I'm switching the channel.
I don't know. I mean, it would have gotten you a couple people. It would have gotten a couple hundred thousand maybe people.
Nah,
I don't know.
Those people would have already been watching the pay-per-view.
I mean, that was just me. Like, that's how I would have put it together. Or maybe you do that at around 9 o'clock to keep some people engaged. I don't know. But, all right, so enough about that. Enough about, and I'm sure we're all going to put in our pieces here. Steve, Miz versus Ziggler. And then, Sean, as soon as Steve's done, you can just take it away.
Miz versus Ziggler was my match of the night. That was really good. And I've been pretty vocal about saying I do not like Ziggler, and I still don't like Ziggler for that matter, but I gotta give credit where credit's due, and that was an insanely entertaining match and probably the best one of the night for me.
Yeah, I agree. It was the best match of the night. I really liked how the match was put together. You had Miz stealing Bryan's moves again, but you also had callbacks. Like, you had callbacks to the Marie sprain in the eyes, callbacks with the Spirit Squad. You had a nice false finish with the super kick. You even had a callback to when the Miz used to do the figure four all the time. He was working the leg. And I really enjoyed the nod to Eddie Guerrero, because it was Eddie Guerrero's birthday on that night. And they did the gimmick with the boot coming off, and hit him with a super kick without the boot. So I thought it was great. I honestly, there's not much that I thought they could have done better than how they presented it. And obviously, you know, the celebration was great afterwards too. I am very surprised at how many people legitimately thought Dolph was going to lose.
Because, yeah, I was surprised at that.
Because I was telling people for a while that Dolph is not lose. This is, he's going to win the match. Like, why do you think he's going to lose? And people bought that he might retire.
And I'm one of those people, because I looked at Ziggler. You could kind of tell that he had not. I mean, he's been pretty vocal about it in terms of being in interviews and stuff, that he wants to play out the rest of his contract, or, you know, finish out the rest of his contract. And then when he's done, maybe he hangs around a little bit. But I kind of thought maybe maybe they would have him lose. But then I kept thinking, like, at some point they're going to need to look at this roster and go, we need guys. So I took the bait. I'll admit that I took the bait, because I kind of saw potential there as Ziggler being a general manager on Raw, or replacing Otunga on commentary, which I think a lot of us would probably want. Because, like, in all honesty, Ziggler on commentary is not bad. I mean, I think we can admit that
Ziggler.
Yeah,
I think he's a little too inside baseball. If you catch my drift.
Yeah, he does. He throws a he says some stuff. I'm like, you know, Ziggs, I don't think you're supposed to be talking about that.
Yeah, but I would take that over Otunga any day of the week because Otunga just says.
You know what Rikishi told me?
What did he tell you? Do I have to wait till next week?
Yeah, you got to wait till next week.
Oh,
I'll tell
damn
you what
it.
He told
me. And then next week, he'll just say, oh, yeah, it was just this. But
he said he had to change their attitude.
I took the bait. I'll wholeheartedly admit that. And you know what? A lot of people did. And I thought that was a good job on Ziggler to kind of sell that portion of it. You know, I think Miz did a pretty good job of convincing us that this was going to be something that wasn't going to end. Of course, the Miz versus Daniel Bryan stuff. We all kind of bought into that. There was a lot of story here, and I liked it. And for two guys that have, God, how many times these guys wrestled each other? Like that, they've easily been around 13, 15 matches that we've seen. Not even counting house shows. These are two guys that have done this for a while and have wrestled each other for a very long time and a lot, and they kept it fresh. So this was probably my match of the night. I'm sure it was match of the night for all of us. Maybe the title match beat it out, but this was just great. I mean, this is possibly one of the best matches of the year. I'll put it in my top 10. Moving on, if we have any final statements on Miz and Ziggler,
nope.
Anyone going once, twice?
Benny, you're a mark.
I'm a mark three. All right, moving on to Alexa Bliss versus Naomi, which I did not know. A lot of people didn't know that Naomi spelled backwards as I moan.
And moving on.
This was probably the second worst match of the night.
Naomi had her entrance. That was cool.
Naomi's entrance is always good.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how many botches were here? I think a few.
On a scale from 1 to butt, where is Naomi?
Oh, she's in the butt.
Yeah, she's like beyond the scale, I think.
She's beyond the butt. But there were so many botches, and Naomi's very good in the ring. Alexa Bliss is very good in the ring, but even on like last SmackDown on Tuesday, there were botches there. Like what was that? What was that flutter kick stuff?
Well, she always does that.
Terrible,
but I mean it was like there's going to be botches because I think Naomi, she as athletic as she is, she does try to do things that are out of her
capabilities.
Yes, and you know if you obviously, you know, you try something new, there's a chance that it might fail. And you know, sometimes it's a little sloppy, and I've been saying it for a while that Alexa Bliss, if she's in there with someone who can go, she's good. Like she can get the job done. But if you put her in there with someone who's inexperienced or who's not very good, the results usually kind of messy. And that's what we got at the pay-per-view.
Alexa Bliss. I don't think she's, I'm not going to say I don't want to insult her, but like, I don't think she's ready to call a match on her own.
Well, that's
like that.
A whole other thing. To say if she's ready for the main roster, she's ready for the main roster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's ready for the main roster.
It's just sometimes putting her in with certain people, it just doesn't gel.
Mm-hmm. And these two clearly don't gel. Steve, do you have any input on this?
I'm a man. Yeah.
Well, keep going.
That's what I'd say. I can't do the I can't do the techno beat.
Bring it to the flow. Boom.
Ain't never seen no one like me. Ain't never seen no one like me.
Okay, so for me, the biggest problem with this match was the fact that Bliss took a pin.
Yeah, well, they probably did that so that they could continue a feud between the two of them while Becky's out.
Couldn't you have just gotten some dirty heel pin and then had Naomi come out, get in her face, and continue it that way? I mean, like, Bliss shouldn't be taking pins. I mean, she is.
Well, she'll be taking one in November 8th in Glasgow.
Well, that's fine. But when you're taking a pin to someone that, I mean, I'm not so sure Naomi is going to. I mean, maybe
Steve,
Naomi's going to be in
farting?
The title.
What are you doing? like Benny's talking, I just hear a in the background. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I apologize. I didn't think the microphone would pick it up.
They totally could pick it up.
Are you replaying the Bliss versus Naomi match?
Oh my god, I can't believe it. Okay.
Your microphone's more sensitive than you know.
Oh my god, I felt pressure and I thought I could crack it off, but
no. It was a couple times too.
I heard it as well. I was like, I'll try to ignore it, but
it was a creaker. Oh man. Whew.
To make a long story short, to me, Bliss shouldn't be taking pins until Becky pins her. To me, it's just like she's gonna be the top heel of this women's division for the foreseeable future. Not a great idea to have her eat some pins. That's just me. Any final statements? Then we'll move on to the main event, which shouldn't have been a main event at all. All right. So Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Oh God.
Are you dying over there? What are you doing?
He's still laughing. Steve is broken.
I can't believe it was loud enough to get that. I'm sort of proud of myself. I'm better now. I'm better now. I had to breathe for a second. Whew.
Steve. All right. So Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton.
This was bad.
It was bad.
It was absolutely terrible.
I kind of expected that, but geez.
I honestly, considering both of their work rates, I didn't think it would be as bad as it was.
Both of them have finishers that one comes out of nowhere and one you kind of need some build up. And I don't think there was enough build up for the ending we got. It was move.
I mean, if I remember correctly, and this was 2 weeks ago, weird. So God forbid, didn't Bray spend like half the match just doing a rest hold?
Yeah.
He did something really
like it
lazy
started
like
off.
That.
Like it started off strong. Like they were outside and they were fighting, whatever. And then they got back in the ring and then we just go into rest holds.
Yeah. There was a lot of ground grappling. And there wasn't much storytelling. Or any storytelling at all.
No. And in fact, most of the match I don't even remember.
At this point, I don't remember it either. I think I was having conversations.
Well, you were passed out by then.
Yeah, I was. I was on my ass. But the big reveal at the end, Luke Harper comes out, Sister Abigail, done. It's nice to see Harper back, but that was not supposed to be a main event. And I thought the ending saved it a little bit. It was good that Bray finally got a win on a pay-per-view since 2014. But that was boring. Flat out, that was one of the most boring matches I've ever seen.
Well, wait till you see the casket match.
Is that what they're definitively going to do that?
Didn't you watch SmackDown? I mean, come on.
I did. I saw the casket.
Well, why else would they bring a casket, which has no place in any part of this feud, into the feud if they're not doing a casket match?
Why are they continuing this feud? Why can't they just not continue this feud and just, okay, Randy loses to Bray because of Luke Harper, so Randy goes after Harper and Bray can go after whatever he wants to go after.
Well, you know who looks really good in all this is Kane, because Kane... Kane beat Bray, and Bray beat Orton, so Kane is definitely the best person out of all these people.
Kane needs to face AJ Styles at Survivor Series.
He needs to face James Ellsworth.
Kane versus James Ellsworth.
Now that's one man you don't job to.
No.
No.
No, you do not job to James Ellsworth. So that's going to be a hell of a fight. Make that the main event for the next. But, okay, so I want your guys' opinion on this match. Feel free to keep it PG, but lash out.
Aren't we talking about that already?
Yeah, but I want rants. I want your guys' rants.
I don't have rant. I just it was boring.
I'm not angry, and I'm not that angry about it. It just was bad. Like it just wasn't good. I did not enjoy it, and it was
definitely not a main event.
No,
the only thing I thought was kind of cool, just for the shock value, was when the lights cut out and Luke popped out. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, because I mean, I know Eric Rowan was hurt, so I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But that was like the only somewhat cool part of the match, and then it was also like Benny said, it's nice to see Bray win one for once, thank God. But besides that, the match was
two years since his last pay per view win, and more than likely, it's going to be 2 years until his next pay per view win. It doesn't look good. But yeah, they're going down the route of a casket match with this.
Why does he have druids now?
I guess he's the new Undertaker. I don't know.
But he lost to the Undertaker at 31.
And Survivor Series.
And then he also took a pin to the, what is he? The Wyatt family lost to, what was it? Kane, Ryback, and Big Show. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, do I remember ever. That.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Exactly.
Terrible. But all in all, I look at the card placement as the biggest problem with this pay-per-view, to my opinion. I think to me, it should have gone WWE title, Corbin Swagger, Wyatt Orton, the tag titles.
Oh, Bella, so you would have put the WWE title on first.
Well, going off of what they did, if they want to put the title thing first.
Yeah, but this is fantasy booking, though. You can do anything you want. So what?
The way I was going to lay out the card was, okay, if I had to put the WWE title match first, what would have followed, and how would it have looked following that?
Yeah, but again, this is just fantasy booking. The only reason why you're saying you had to was because they did it themselves.
Also, if you want to build up, the only other argument I would go to putting the title match first is if you want to build up the career versus Intercontinental title match, maybe it would make it a little bit more like, oh, what's going to happen if it was the main event? That's my only other argument to doing it that way. But, yeah, I mean, traditionally, you would put the title as the main event. And maybe the retirement match would go on somewhere in the middle of the card. But I think for this instance, they really had a lot of that. There were a substantial amount of people that were, you know, we even said it. There were a lot of people that bit into it. So maybe that would have just been the way I would have done it. That's just me. Sean, what would you have done?
What would I have done? I would have had the main event, the triple threat. I would have had the IC title retirement Dolph thing be second to last, and I would keep Alexa and Naomi in that same spot, and I actually would have opened the show with Orton and Bray.
Okay, I mean, I guess opening the show with the return of Harper would have been a hot way to start the show. Would have probably not have. I think the crowd would have been a little bit more into that match. I can agree with that, Steve. What would you have done?
I honestly wouldn't change the way Sean laid it out. That's exactly what I would have done.
Where would you have put? Where would you have put Corbin versus Swagger?
I would have put that. I would have put it outside the arena, happening like in, outside by the lines.
Just for the fans that were trying to get tickets last second. Yeah, but again, I think
it would encourage people to get inside faster.
One of the biggest issues I've had with these past couple of pay-per-views, excluding Backlash, has been card placement. There have been some questionable decisions going back to SummerSlam. Going back to what was the other one? No Mercy back. What was the one between No Mercy and
Clash of Champions?
Clash of Champions. I forgot about that one as well. There have just been some questionable decisions in terms of placing out the card, and I'm looking at Clash of Champions now, and the card placement for that. What was it? You main evented with Rollins versus Owens, but what was it? You had Reigns versus Rusev go right before that. There was no break.
A lot of long matches in a row towards the end.
Yeah, it was just like So we had 16 minutes between Cesaro and Sheamus, 15 minutes between Jericho and Sami Zayn, 15 between Charlotte, Bailey, and Sasha, 17 between Reigns and Rusev, and then 25 between Owens and Rollins. It's a lot. That's a lot. So maybe I would have put one of the New Day there, or I would have gotten a Braun squash or something. You know, it's from little things like that to what happened at SummerSlam to what happened at No Mercy. Just interesting placements for the matches. But all in all, any final thoughts we have on this before we start talking about some other big wrestling topics?
No.
Nah, I'm good.
Nope.
I said everything Mercy. I wanted to.
All right, so that was No Mercy. And finally, we're giving ourselves some mercy. So the fallout on SmackDown, we talked about it a little bit. They're going the route of a casket match for Bray versus Orton. And we saw the return of James Ellsworth.
He has a badass new theme song now.
Yeah, I heard his theme song. I like it, I guess. I don't know. He has a t-shirt, and that's cool.
I'm buying that shirt as soon as possible.
Available now at WWE.com or WWE, what is it? shop.wwe.com or yeah. I don't care. He had a title match, and he had the one with Dean Ambrose as a special referee. It was something straight out of the Attitude Era. I like that. I, you know, seen replays of it, seen the highlights of it. I liked it. It reminded me of back when they would have some good creative decisions. And I think Sean, I mean, you have to kind of like what they did there.
Oh yeah. My only concern is I hope they don't overexpose James Ellsworth because he's a novelty. He's not, you don't want him on every week. And I don't think they will. I think the next time we'll see him is probably the Royal Rumble. I thought it was a good idea because the title match, people were complaining, being like, oh, it was too goofy. You know, I couldn't buy it. Everyone came out looking weak. Well, not really. I mean, AJ still came out looking strong, even if it was a DQ loss. Ellsworth, he had a near fall, which is the whole point of the match, is that it was to get the crowd to bite on a near fall. And they did with the super kick. Chin music.
The no chin music, which I love. I love the name of his finisher.
And Dean, I mean, even though he kind of looks like a dick, he still is an effective baby face. So everyone came out looking good, regardless of whether or not AJ lost twice to James Ellsworth.
I enjoy this Dean Ambrose versus the Dean Ambrose we got when he was champion. Like, okay, we get it. He does goofy things. You know, I don't like that. But when he does goofy things, like, for instance, when he was the special referee, and I think at one point he answered his phone or something. Like, that's stuff that I enjoy. Like, those are things that are like, you don't expect him to do that. You weren't expecting him to do that. And it makes sense because that's his character, and it's not too goofy. It's not pouring a bunch of sugar into his coffee or wearing a funny hat. It's doing something that people just aren't expecting another person to do, you know, not, you know, just it's complete shock. Not just he's doing it just to be different. But I like what they're doing with that. Outside of that, I think for the most part, we're getting pretty much the status quo with some other things as well.
November 8th, Becky defends the title.
Yeah, I think they're going back to Miz versus Ziggler again.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah, I wish that last match would have been like the.
Well, he has an automatic rematch clause, so.
He does, and we'll see what happens there. But all right. So before we get in, we're going to look ahead to Hell in a Cell. We do have some big WWE related topics to talk about. They had the release of their new video game. WWE 2K17, Brock Lesnar on the cover. If you bought it, what was it? The pre-order special was you get Goldberg.
Played as Goldberg. He's actually fun to play with.
Goldberg is very fun to play with.
I will say, I mean, I was never a big Goldberg fan when he was wrestling, but he is actually a fun video game. I remember when he was in, what was it? WWE 13, I think it was. He was in that one, or was it? It might have been 13. I don't remember. But he was fun in that one, too. So he's just been a fun character to play with.
I can imagine he has a pretty fun moveset.
Yeah,
I mean,
they screwed up his entrance in this one, but,
Well, how do you mess up his entrance?
Well, it's just, it looks awkward when he comes out with the sparklers. It's not even like fully covering them. And then he, the sinking of the pyro that goes off behind him is all off.
Oh yeah. No, this, it doesn't, it goes off and then the sound hits. It's weird.
How do you mess that up? Are they at least using the correct? Because I know there was some people that were being insane about his entrance music.
And it's the WWE one.
It's the WWE one.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't have a problem with the WWE one.
No, we were talking about that. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it later in the show when he came out on Raw. But Sean and I were talking about it, and I actually prefer his WWE one better. It has a more epic sound with it. The WCW one is fine, but I always was more partial to the WWE one.
My problem with the WCW one was it was always like kind of quiet at times. Like it was almost like an actual film score, and it kind of was.
Yeah, when it would be just the drums, it would get real like you wouldn't be able to hear it over the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I've always enjoyed Goldberg's. I think I kind of side with the WWE music as well. I've heard the WCW stuff maybe a couple of times, but again, it's because when he comes out.
Well, did you watch Raw?
I did watch Raw.
Did you watch him come out?
Yes, I did.
Then you heard his WCW theme.
I heard his. That was the WCW theme.
The song that played when he entered was his WCW one. When he left, they played his WWE
one. That's interesting. I've always enjoyed his WWE one a little more because it kind of sounds more to his character. Kind of like on the edge, a guy that's ready to crush people, and it's epic and I like it. We can talk about his return in a little bit, but I want to ask both of you how the game is, because that's the whole point of this topic. I've heard mixed reviews, and I'm going to start with you, Steve, before we get to Sean.
It ain't good. They shined up the graphics real nice. All the wrestlers look good, but it's just same old glitchy 2K nonsense. Like it's just, there's still glitch problems. I mean, I had to lower the base difficulty setting of the game so I could actually play it.
I turned all the AI off because
they're
so dumb in the game.
You get like, they'll get you stuck outside the ring and like won't take you back. It's just, they do a lot of dumb things. And there's a lot of stuff that makes the game not enjoyable. I agree with Sean, and the best job they ever did was 2K14. That was the most playable and everything felt the best in that game. The wrestlers and everything look great in this game, and the graphics are cool, but there's just glitch galore. And also they really kind of chunked up the create a wrestler function. It's a lot different now, and you can't control as much of your wrestler's appearance as you used to. And they tried to make it up with giving you a bunch more like outfits and makeup things, but you know what?
Like the outfits suck too, because you can't even like put patterns you can only do solid colors.
Yeah, I know, which is just dumb.
I've wanted to talk about the creation portion of the game, because I bought 16. And one of the things I noticed is like whenever you're tweaking a logo, whenever you're tweaking a logo or something, it takes forever to like make a logo. Like on 14 is very quick.
Out of 14, everything on 16, that's your big complaint.
there's a lot on 16 that I want to complain about. I enjoy the showcase mode, and it's you know, between the ones I've played, and I haven't played 15.
Well, this one doesn't have a showcase mode.
This one, so it doesn't.
Nope.
Okay.
It has career mode. Which feels a lot like the other career modes. Other than the new promo feature on it. But even that's kind of inconsistent. Like I was saying to both of you guys before, when I first played the game, I was like, this is the same crap from last year, gameplay-wise. So what I did was I went into the settings and I turned a bunch of stuff off. I lowered the computer AI. I switched the momentum thing to fast. And I've gotten to a point now where it's close. It's not perfectly as in sync as 2K14 was, but it's as close as it's going to get on the next gen. So I feel like
2K,
I accomplished something.
Not to interrupt you, but 2K14 is just such a 2K14 is just such a fun game to play, and it's a shame.
It's not realistic at all, but that's fine. It doesn't have to be realistic. That's I think that's the biggest pitfall of these new next-gen games, is that they're trying to make them too realistic. If I want to be playing a realistic wrestling game, I would just go out on the street and like suplex someone. You know, it's like, why? I just want to play the game and have fun with it. Why does it need to be super realistic?
And I think it's deter off of what we're talking about or derail ourselves from the conversation. But like that's the issue with like Madden, and that's the issue with like even like some of the Major League Baseball, MLB The Show games. Like they're getting way too realistic, and they're missing the point, is that it's a game. You know, I don't want to wait 30 seconds between a pitch, because that's what they do in the major leagues. I don't want to have to tap a bunch of buttons to throw a football. It's what made Madden great, and what made MLB great, is that you could click one button and the guy throws a huge pass downfield. Or in 2K14, your guy's stamina is down a little bit, but you can still do some stuff. It's not as glitchy.
Stamina was in 2K14.
There was some kind of version. I remember version.
It's just you get hurt and you stay down. The stamina wasn't a thing until like 15, I think.
Okay. Oh, that's actually, okay, segues a little bit better into what I was saying, but what I was trying to get to. Okay, so how close is this to the biggest abomination, which was 2K15? How close is this to 2K15?
I mean, it's similar, but I mean, they did improve some things, so I don't want to say it's all doom and gloom. They improved some things. I was mentioning this to Steve earlier. It's so damn expensive to unlock people in the game. You don't unlock people anymore just by playing the game. You have to buy them. And I know that they used to do that back in the day with No Mercy. You have to buy people belts and whatever. But it's so expensive. You can only get 9,000 points from a 5-star match. And, you know, most people that you have to unlock in the game are above 15,000. So... I spent an hour and a half just playing the game trying to get points, and I only got 33,000, and I was able to unlock just two people out of all the people.
Shaking my head. Like, the point of the game, again, needs to be fun, not this realistic, grueling experience. You know, I want to be able to pick it up, play for an hour, accomplish some things, do whatever I want, and, you know, shut it down and go to work or go out and have fun. Like, or go out and do something else. Like, that's the point of a video game, is it's a brief simulation of your reality, and it's a fantasy thing. One of my favorite games that I played, one of my favorite wrestling games, was WWE SmackDown versus Raw. Like, that series, I remember I had 7 and 8. And what made those fun was that, you know, they had the unlockable stuff too, where you had to, you know, wrestle matches, get points, but things were very affordable there. And it's just kind of shocking that it's going down this road. Like, it's just so unfun. And especially because, like, I think we'll all admit the commercials for this game were cool.
Oh, sure.
I liked them a lot. It's the whole idea of Suplex City, and the you know, you start at the rooftop and you see Seth Rollins and Big Show and Undertaker. And like, there were so many Easter eggs in the trailer. Or the commercial for this game, and the fact that the game is just kind of a little bit of a letdown.
I just wish that they would take the mechanics of the last gen version and then put it into this, but keep the graphics as they are.
It just seems like that's all they want, is that they want pretty graphics. They want pretty graphics.
But they redid all the mechanics and everything for the next gen. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, just take the last gen. All that stuff and just bring it in, and but keep the graphics.
I fear, and we're kind of straying off wrestling here and talking more about video games, but I fear for the day when they have the virtual reality wrestling game. I fear for that day. Okay. I don't know if I want that, but anyway.
All right.
So final verdict on 2K17, buy or no buy?
I would say, if you're strapped for cash, no buy. But if you can afford it, it's going to take you a while to play around with it.
Okay. All right. So 2K17, a little bit of a letdown. All right. Moving ahead to another big wrestling topic. We are going to be talking about Goldberg's return. And of course, we have some other stuff we're going to talk about as well. But okay. So this past Monday, Goldberg comes back to end the show and cuts an amazing promo. There was build up for it pretty much the entire show. They were talking about it. And then, you know, finally we get to the time and he comes out and it brought me back to being a kid. You know, Goldberg, you know, growing up was a guy my dad always talked about. My brother had a T-shirt of Goldberg, you know, not the best in the ring. And I think a lot of us have admitted that, but he still, the character of Goldberg, he was almost like a superhuman being and a guy that kids looked up to. And that's one of the reasons why he left is because they started this whole ruthless aggression stuff and you had the treatment of women. And that's one of the reasons why he walked away and comes back. I remember him in an interview saying that he didn't like the what was
he
going
left
on
because they didn't like how they treated his character because they were making him they were booking him horribly. They put a friggin' wig on him. They put Goldust's wig on him. That was a death knell right there. It had nothing to do with him being a guy. He liked the Attitude Era. I mean, he may not be suitable for his kids, but like he was a fan of it.
I remember hearing him in an interview, and I'll try to find it on YouTube after this, but he was talking about how he wasn't happy with the product.
Well, he can be unhappy with the product all he wants, but when he was there, he had no problem with the product.
When did they put the gold dust wig on him?
You don't remember this?
I don't remember that at all.
It was not too long after he first came in.
I remember.
Oh, my God.
It was really bad.
I remember his debut. I remember his debut coming out. It was The Rock was there in the WWE. The Rock was there, and I remember that being like oh God, this is big. But I don't remember the wig. I have to look this up. Anyway, while I'm looking at this image because I really want to see this image now. Steve and Sean, I want you guys to talk about what you thought about Goldberg coming back.
It was really great. Anything. It was the best segment of the night. I mean, you know, I loved I kind of had a little bit of an issue because some of the people who were in the backstage area clapping for him as he was coming to the arena, I thought shouldn't have been like, why did the New Day need to be there? It should have just been like either lower end guys or like production staff who were doing that, and as opposed to like actual players on the show. But he cut the best promo of his career, I would say. And they made it feel special. Like they were building up all night Goldberg. And they did a better job with him than they did the cruiserweights. He cut a great promo. He was believable. He had a nice line at the end, and, He almost stole some kid out of the crowd that he thought may have been his own son, but it wasn't.
I'm laughing at the stealing a kid thing, as well as I'm looking at the wig now, and I can't. That's whose idea was it to do that?
I don't know.
That looks terrible. Whoever did that was been fired. But yeah, I felt like a kid again. Steve, I know you were saying a lot about his promo. One of the best I've ever heard him say. I know, you know, he doesn't have great mic skills when he was in the WWE originally, but that was a pretty good promo.
That promo was the best of his career. I agree with Sean. He was never much of a talker when he wrestled. He never said anything too memorable. But as far as he goes, though, there was so much emotion behind that, and you tell he believed everything. And I said to you guys before in our group text, he's one of the few people in WWE right now that I buy as a legitimate threat to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
If anyone else steps in the ring with Brock Lesnar, like, oh, they're cannon fodder. They're just going to get destroyed. But I don't buy, like, when I look at Goldberg and Lesnar, I'm like, no, this is a guy that actually stand up with Lesnar and not be just thrown around like a rag doll.
Yeah. I think we were also talking about it. They're running out of people for him to face.
Yeah, you can't just keep feeding people to Goldberg. I mean, to Lesnar.
Yeah, to Lesnar. And they're running out of people that are believable threats to him. I know they wanted to do something with the Wyatt family and Lesnar, and that really didn't pan out. You're right. I mean, on the roster right now, if Goldberg doesn't come back, they have no one they can put against Lesnar to make us believe that
Joe,
they have a shot.
Joe. 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 Well, Joe.
On the main roster.
He'll be there.
Bring him up.
He'll be there.
He'll be there. But would he be there by Survivor Series?
We're not talking about Survivor. We're not talking about Survivor Series. Survivor Series is booked already.
My question is, if Goldberg doesn't come back, who's facing Lesnar?
If Goldberg
at Survivor
wasn't
Series?
Back, Brock wouldn't be on Survivor Series. They would hold off his date and then put him on the Rumble.
Put him on the Rumble to be either Goldberg, in the Rumble or whatever.
We're going to get maybe two matches out of Goldberg.
We'll see. Maybe. We'll see. I mean, we were only supposed to get one match out of Sting. And, you know, that turned into two.
But then Seth Rollins almost killed him.
Well, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Damn it, Seth.
Okay, so let's talk about the idea of bringing Goldberg back. And for a second, we're going to, you know, stop thinking about, oh, who do you have face Lesnar?
Joe.
Bring Goldberg back to face Lesnar. It's the rematch of their WrestleMania. What was it?
WrestleMania 20. One of the worst matches in the history of the company.
And you took words right out of my mouth. So from what a lot of us remember about that match.
Different circumstance, though.
Different circumstances.
Totally different circumstance.
Crowd was a little bit angry at both guys in that match.
Because they both were leaving and they didn't care.
Yes.
They didn't care a single bit.
Both were substantially younger. I know Lesnar might have been in his like late 20s at that point. And Goldberg was also a younger guy as well, and they both kind of had a little bit of ego. And
well, they both were sick of how they were being treated by the company, and they knew that was their last match, and they're like, "Why should we try? This place sucks."
Yeah. So the crowd wasn't into it. In terms of how the match went about, it wasn't great. So, of course, different circumstances now. This looks like it might be a little bit of a better match, but. I guess my question is to both of you, how long do you think this is going to go? What do you think we're going to get?
What do you mean by that?
Like from what we've seen in Goldberg in the past, his matches normally lasted 6 to 8 minutes. Maybe
No, this won't go any more than 10, 12 minutes at tops. But you know you're talking about, you know, match quality. The match quality of this match doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. it's going to be pure spectacle. It's kind of like Rock and Hogan when they were at WrestleMania. The match itself is not good, but the spectacle of it is what propelled it. And I feel like that's a similar situation.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with Sean.
It's a similar situation, but my fear is that we're going to get a point during the match where the crowd's not going to be, because the crowd's going to start hot. It's going to be hot for
they're going to be hot for the whole match.
You think for the entire match?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
It's also Toronto too.
Yeah, that is a wrestling town. I don't know. I guess my fear is that we're going to get about 5 minutes into the match, and the crowd might start to simmer a little bit. I don't know.
If we were in Philly or Brooklyn or somewhere, this match would probably get just booed completely.
See, I disagree. Even smart fans, I think smart fans would appreciate seeing Goldberg back in there. I mean, Denver's not known as like a big wrestling city, and they went crazy for Goldberg.
Sean, we were talking about that. That was one of the biggest pops we've ever heard in a long time.
So I don't think they're going to have an issue with the crowd not liking any part of the match.
I think part of the pop might have been they were just really happy to see Goldberg. I mean, of course.
And they'll be happy to see him when he comes out to wrestle.
Well,
imagine when he hits that spear on Brock. People are going to go nuts.
God. If he can do the jackhammer on Brock,
I'm sure he can.
He's done it before,
but I mean, he's what? He's into his 50s. Is he into his 50s?
49.
Now? He's 49.
His body is still in incredible condition. He didn't leave wrestling all like too late, all broken up with tons of injuries and stuff. He works out like a madman. He's still really strong. He trains Muay Thai up in he's trained with Dwayne Ludwig, who's a pretty renowned kickboxer trainer. He's an active dude. He's not just some slouch they're bringing back.
Well, I guess again, a lot. I'm excited. Like, you know, if there's one thing that was going to get me excited to watch Survivor Series, it was going to be one of these. And you know what? I do like the idea that they're going to have this Big Four concept and these Big Four pay-per-views, and they're going to start treating Survivor Series as to have matches like this. And it is a dream match. I mean, you know, it's a match we wanted to see actually get the treatment it deserved. So I'm excited.
Just to think, this all happened because of a video game commercial.
Yep.
Yes. It was all a video game.
When they first did the Rise commercial for 2K17, when they blew up the door, and I was like, who the hell is going to be behind this door? And I saw his face. I literally levitated out of my chair. I was like, oh, it's Goldberg.
And that was
God.
Yeah.
I was shocked because of all the people I thought they would ever bring back, a lot of us never thought we'd ever see Goldberg in a ring again.
I if you told me that we were going to see Goldberg wrestle a Survivor Series like 6 months ago, I would have laughed in your face.
I probably would have called you insane. But yeah, now we're gonna see Goldberg in a red. Just again, I keep saying that. All right.
So what we need to do is we need to get 2K and we need to call them and say, hey, next year's game, make an offer to Kurt Angle.
Oh my God, yes.
Put him as your, because this is a trend. Like everyone comes back. Put him in your game, make him the focus point, and we'll just sit back and wait.
Imagine the pop when the You Suck music started. Oh my God.
Imagine if they do a Kurt Angle showcase mode.
Sure, why not? Just put him in there. I don't care how you do it.
Put him in there.
Like, oh God, just thinking of like potentially some games they could do. They could have like a game based around Eddie Guerrero. You know, like that'd be so cool.
Well, he's not coming back.
He's not. He's not. But like they could have Eddie Guerrero on the cover, and then they could bring back. Guys, it's kind of difficult to get Eddie Guerrero to come back at this point.
So bad.
Well, like, why would you say Eddie? Like, the whole point is to get someone.
They've never had a game. Now they're starting to do games based around legends. Okay, and I understand the idea of getting people to come back, but at some point they're going to run out of guys to come back.
But they've done it for the last few years, so that was my whole point. Is this someone that they could bring back
after Kurt Angle? Who else can come back?
I don't know, but let's focus on Kurt Angle. Let's get him in there.
I honestly think we may see Kurt Angle back in 2 years. Because I don't know if they're going to bring him back in a year. I don't know.
I can't believe you said that.
I mean, I want to see a game. I want to see a game that well, actually, more. It's more over the showcase mode. I really enjoy.
You can
I really
put
do
an
enjoy
Eddie Guerrero showcase mode in anywhere. He's big. You could put
that in any game and it'll get played. Yeah. It's Eddie Guerrero.
But I want to see that be a WWE game. I want to see that be a UK game.
Someone put in a Kerwin White showcase mode.
I'd play it. It'd be like, it'd take me 30 right. minutes to do, but I'd play it.
I think to get that super guy they have that does all the showcase mode stuff, be like, Kerwin White debuted on Raw, and it's like you see like the clip and him coming out. Like everything's better when it's white.
You play one match against Shelton Benjamin, and that's it.
But, no, there's like a bunch of build up. There's like, you know, you see all the video clips. It's like an hour, and you get the match against Shelton Benjamin. That's it. You're done. Or it was like a Beaver Cleavage showcase mode.
Oh Jesus.
Yep. All right, moving on.
All right. So our next, I guess to. We'll hold off that. It looks like TNA is about to be bankrupt again. Who cares? Cockroach of wrestling. All right, Paige and Del Rio. We have some updates on that. Looks like she had surgery recently.
She had surgery today on her neck, and it went well. So she's starting the healing process.
She tweeted out she has true love and 3 screws in her neck.
Yep.
Oh, that's not where I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, where are we going, Paige?
See, Steve, any word on which surgery it was? Because they had the option of the long term and the short term.
They went in there and it was more damage than they thought, so they put the 3 screws. I am guessing it's the long term surgery.
Okay.
Yeah, because she posted an in-depth description, I think on Instagram is where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And she said when they went in there, it was more damage than they originally thought, so they had to go with the more reinforcing stronger surgery, so I'm sure that's the long term.
Well, if you see a scar on her the front of her neck, then that is the invasive one. So
yeah, that's what they had to do for Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, and we've been speculating about this, but photos have surfaced, or photos have been seen on her Instagram, and her neck looks like it's thinner. Do you think the injury had something to do with that?
I mean, I'm sure because of her injury, she hasn't been able to work out at all. When you got a bum neck, that messes up your whole mm-hmm. body. I mean, you can have numbness in your hands and your feet. I mean, it depends if she had a pinched nerve or not.
Oh.
I'm sure that, and from what it seems like, she was in a severe amount of pain. And that really just saps your will to do anything. So I'm sure she hasn't been working out or doing anything. So that would make sense for her.
I guess
her weight loss.
Because we've been speculating about what's going on. She's been suspended twice. It's not 60 days.
Yeah, because WWE says it was not a prescription medicine. They said she was suspended for an illegal substance. Yeah,
they went out of their way to do that. Like they never do that, and that really tells you something.
And that's led to speculation. Of course, this is pure speculation. And we've kind of talked about it. Del Rio had way back a little bit of a drug problem, and Paige is young. The illegal substance, we thought possibly this could have been cocaine. And I think it's fair to say that. I think it's fair to speculate on that because you saw photos. We know that the Del Rio's not the best human being on the face of the earth.
Wow, cold-blooded.
I mean, that's just...
He sure as hell ain't the best husband.
He sure as hell isn't the best husband, and you know we look at that relationship and we start to speculate.
And his wife is starting to get pretty vocal towards Paige, not even being mean to her, but just to warn her, like, look what he did to me. You know, eventually one day he'll get tired of you.
Yes, yes, and he won't be. What was it? That weird. Did you see the one weird video of like them in New York? And I guess he's the president of some mixed martial arts company. Now he's doing an interview, and he grabbed her face and was like, "I present there," or something like that. I was like, "That's weird." Like they just have a weird relationship. But
Sean, you sent that picture of like, didn't Del Rio talk about her neck being hurt, and he had like Paige by the neck, like jokingly.
Oh yeah, that was sent to me. They were like backstage and like. He was just playing around with her, but he was playing around by like fake choking her. And it's just like, man, it's with a bum neck and like, that's not good.
You can't, if I knew anybody close to me had a hurt neck, the last place I'm going to touch is their neck. I don't care if we're joking around or what, but you just don't.
Yeah.
Like you just don't do that. Like that's stupid. Like,
and she looked like she was having fun and everything. Like it didn't bother her. So I don't know.
It was a weird picture.
It's a weird thing to do, especially at a time where domestic abuse has been heightened across in terms of our senses. And we've seen it every day.
In front of a camera. It was a video.
Injury to the neck. And again, at this point, I can safely say that the fanboy attraction to Paige was like, oh, she's so hot. To me, at least, that's gone. This screams a 23, 24-year-old doing something to get attention. She's making a lot of bad decisions. And to me, it's just the affection for her starting to go out the window a little bit. I look at all the things and I think she's making a lot of poor choices. And I've read on Reddit, online communities. People are starting to get fed up with her making these decisions. What was it, Steve?
I was just going to say, I mean, like, I can't say anything else about their decisions. I was just going to move into the next big topic, including them, which included, in a bizarre chain of events, Paige going to the ring after Del Rio yes. wrestled a match, and she got down on one knee and proposed to him.
That's backwards, isn't it?
A little weird.
A little weird.
I'm all for equality among the sexes. If a girl wants to propose to a guy, you know what? Go ahead. Listen, but just with it's the only reason, honestly, the only reason it's weird, it's because it's these two. That's why it's weird.
Yes.
If I saw a girl propose to any other guy, any other place, I would be like, cool. I mean, if a girl wants to do that, go ahead. But
there's a commercial out. And it's African-American couple. They're at a restaurant and the girl gets down and proposes to him. And it's like a comedy commercial. The guy doesn't know what's going on at first, but she does. And I think it's like a deodorant commercial or something like that. It's something stupid. But I don't care. If a girl wants to propose to a guy wants to propose to a girl, whatever, however they want to do it, it doesn't matter. Chad Johnson proposed to his girlfriend, didn't even look up after playing video games. So, like, you can do whatever you want, however you want. The fact of the matter that drives a lot of people crazy, and at this point it's beyond the fanboy love of Paige, it's that this is a young girl, 24 years old, who has a bright future in wrestling. We are concerned about her career because she is surrounding herself with Del Rio. Del Rio, again, is not the nicest human being. We see what he does to his ex-wife. We know we've heard stories about what he does with fans. We saw it in the ring in terms of body language. He doesn't care.
He's also not the most he's not the most monogamous human being.
Yes.
Did anyone else find it odd that, I mean, obviously he wasn't wearing a t-shirt. I didn't see any scars on him at all from that stabbing.
Oh, yeah, no, I think they've proven that was fake and that the pictures he sent were from the internet.
What?
Yeah, considering he was supposedly stabbed.
Because those pictures look bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, his arm was all kinds of cut up and in the picture. Supposedly. It looked like his arm was really cut up and he had that big gash in his head. Boy, he looked all right.
Yeah. Now that you bring it up, it is pretty odd that he's back to wrestling already.
He was wrestling the week after. He was wearing a t-shirt though, but and he had something on his arm. But you know, that was only a week ago.
There's no way it healed that fast, especially with those kind of wounds. It was inflicted with a knife.
You'd have some kind of scars on you.
Yeah. You'd have something noticeable, especially if it was as deep as it looked.
That's odd.
I'd also like to go ahead and point out that Paige's dad publicly went on Facebook saying that he does not endorse their engagement, and her brother was not far behind her. He didn't say it in those exact words, but he implied that he was not happy with the idea.
That's going to be an awkward wedding.
Oh, it's going to be an incredibly awkward wedding. From what Paige has been saying, I don't know if she's lying to keep the public quiet, but she made public. They've been saying like her family loves Del Rio and all this stuff. And I don't know. I got a feeling that she was saying that just to shut up the haters, so to speak. But I don't think a hardcore family like hers is very keen on a 38-year-old guy moving in on their 24-year-old daughter, seeing what he's doing to her.
I'm interested to see or to hear what her mom has to say. Because her mom probably has some pretty interesting things to say. But again, this is a 6-month relationship that has gotten really weird, really fast, and it's a shame because this is a girl now that is one more suspension away from no longer having a job. And the smoking gun and all of this. Yeah, she's not done her WWE contract until 2019. Got 3 more years.
Billy and Bart.
Billy and Bart.
Oh, we have some issues here. But anyway, all right, moving on. Another quick hit here. Ryback. Did you guys see this? Ryback on the internet was talking about how he proposed to Vince McMahon that he wanted to have a storyline where he leaves the company for 6 months, trains in mixed martial arts, comes back, and challenges Brock Lesnar to a match at WrestleMania.
That's funny.
Okay, Ryback, whatever you say.
I really don't think he gets it, but we'll have to see what Socialist Ryback thinks. All right, moving on. We're going to look ahead now to Hell in a Cell. I think Sean has some bones to pick with the way Hell in a Cell is looking right now. But right now, of course, the elephant in the room is that the women are going to main event. They are going to be the last. I think they're officially the last match. Or at least they're said to be the last
match. I'm skeptical because as much as I keep seeing it all online, it's not going to be until the day of and I'm watching the pay-per-view when I go, okay, it is the main event. Because it wasn't until the day of that we knew that the title match was going to open the show. So they could change their minds 10 times until then.
Yes. And of course they have a very, very loose definition of what a main event is. But you know, before we get too far, we are currently looking at 5 matches. TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick, Banks and Charlotte, Owens versus Rollins, Reigns and Rusev, and New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
Kind of, and we'll probably also get Bayley, Dana.
Yes. Bayley, Dana. It looks like they're going to do Zayn.
Probably Enzo
Strowman.
And Gallows and Anderson.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Braun and Zayn will be on there. I don't know.
We'll see. Maybe we might get something else as well, but we'll have to see. Hopefully no Nia Jax squash matches.
But she's not like most girls.
That's right.
Okay, looking ahead really quick to Survivor Series, I don't know how they're going to do a 5-on-5 women's thing. I don't know how Raw is going to be able to produce 5 women.
They have 5 women.
Outside, like, obviously they're going to have Charlotte.
Yeah.
I got 5 women.
Shut up. No, you don't.
You wish.
Let's think realistically to how. So if they do Charlotte versus Bayley at Survivor Series, that leaves you with Sasha.
Well, hold on.
Banks.
No. There won't be a title match at Survivor Series.
They're gonna
no, they're going to put both champions on each team. They're going to have Charlotte, Bayley,
Sasha.
They'll probably throw in Dana, and then I guess you could put Nia in there, heat her up again.
Or Emelina,
if she debuts before then.
Or Summer Rae.
Like I said, you could put Emelina in if she debuts by then. And I think Summer Rae's hurt, actually.
Summer Rae is hurt.
I have no idea. Okay, I guess. I mean, I expected them to do some kind of title thing, but okay, I guess.
No, I think at best you might get a cruiserweight title match and you might get the two main titles, but I don't think you're getting any other title matches on the show.
If we get a cruiserweight title match, is it going to be another Perkins versus Kendrick match?
Probably not.
I
don't know what it would be, but like I doubt it.
Time.
If anything, like, if it's Survivor Series, they should do like a what would it be, a 6-man challenge or 6-pack challenge?
Do an
elimination. Survivor Series elimination. Do 6 cruiserweights elimination match.
That'd be interesting. Okay, so those are the matches they have laid out. They have a very loose. Getting back to what I was saying, they have a very loose definition of what a main event is. I was going back to the Summer of Punk. That was one of his biggest complaints, was that they said he was going to main event things and he just wouldn't main event or.
Well, he was champion. He was champion. He wasn't the last last match on the show.
It's just baffling. But okay. They have. I think Sean's gonna have fun with this. They have 3 Hell in a Cell matches.
Yes, they do. I went last time. I did this was the first Hell in a Cell pay per view. I was there live for that, and that was overkill. By the time DX and Legacy came out for that last one, no one gave a crap about any of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a weird choice for the main event too. This one's going to be similar, and I really, really, really feel bad for the women, because if they do main event, they're going on last, you would have seen 2 cell matches by then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing, is you have to kind of desensitize these cell matches, because if you're having 3 in a night, you're not going to go all out in all 3 of them. So I would assume the U.S. title match would open the show, because you have to have one of them open, and then you'd put the Universal title in the middle, and then the women in the main event. But 3 is just too much. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, 3 in one night, that's 10% of all the Hell in a Cell matches that have ever taken place. So you've had 33 Hell in a Cell matches in the history of the match, and you're having 3 in one night. That's 10%.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, how many do you think you're going to get any Hell in a Cell matches that are going to make your list or have to make you tweak your list?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see.
I'm interested in seeing Charlotte. I think again, the spectacle of Hell in a Cell is going to be Banks versus Charlotte.
I will say, though, there was some talk of, you know, because Rick says that Charlotte had something special planned. I don't remember who it was, but they said something about she might spear Sasha through the cage. And my question is are they big enough to break that thing?
I do not think so.
Because I've seen people have trouble with that before, and that's, they're not that, I mean, especially Sasha, she's not that big. So I'd be surprised.
It's like when Goldberg tried to put Jericho through the containment wall in the elimination chamber, and he had to spear him like twice.
I was actually thinking more of like when they had that tables match with Lay Cool against Natalya and Beth Phoenix. And
the
ending of the match was her pushing the two of them off the top rope through a table, but the table didn't break, even though the two of them fell on it.
That was insane. I was like, how did it not break?
Yeah. Maybe they'll loosen up, and they'll loosen up a side of the cage for them to go through.
Yeah, but if it's the main event, like you got to like make sure no one touches that side then. Throughout the whole show.
Okay, everyone, avoid right here.
I mean, they've done that with Elimination Chambers before. Like when they had two in one night, they tell them like, don't use this one chamber because the glass will break away.
I don't know. I think this could be either the best thing or the worst thing that happens this year. And I know I've said that a lot about a lot of different things, but. I'm partially thinking that maybe we'll end up getting it's just a match that just so happens to take place inside of a Hell in a Cell. I don't think they're going to do a lot of big gory spots.
Gory? You think there's going to be blood?
You think Rhino's going to be involved?
He'll gore both of them through the cage.
Right, Rhino just comes out.
That would be awesome.
That
would be awesome.
I guess poor choice of words. I don't think we're going to get a lot of big spots here. I don't think we're going to get a lot of like. Typical Hell in a Cell spots where you drag someone's face across the cage or
that would be gory.
I don't think we're gonna get a lot of that. I think they're gonna tone it down, and I'm kind of afraid that's what they're gonna do.
It's desensitizing everything because you have three of them.
Yeah, but I kind of, you know, putting Banks and Charlotte into the cell, there's a bit of a story there. I kind of I kind of expect to see some kinds of things like that, but I'm afraid they're just not going to allow them to do that because they're afraid they're going to get hurt.
Well, again, I mean, other than using weapons in Hell in a Cell, they've taken away blood. Usually they don't escape the cell anymore. You can't jump off the top unless you're Shane McMahon. You can't climb it unless you're Shane McMahon. So you're kind of limited in what you can do in these cell matches nowadays. So you have that handicap already, and you're desensitizing all of them, and you don't want to repeat the same spots in all three matches in one night. So
yeah,
it's not good.
We'll see. We have three. I mean, you know, I guess the one silver lining to this is you have three different kinds of. Three different, I guess, pairings of worker, like drastically different. You have slow,
fast, and women.
we have Reigns and Rusev that are kind of their matches have been like almost a little bit brutal.
Slow but
brutal. Like they do these big spots, but it's slow but brutal.
It's gonna be like the Roman and Bray one that they had from last year, I think it was. It's gonna be like that again.
You're gonna have Owens and Rollins who are very athletic.
That'll be good.
We'll see. We'll see some cool stuff. I don't know if we're going to get like someone climbing up onto the side of the cage or something like that, but we'll see. And then you're going to have a women's match, and it's just so happened to take place in Hell in a Cell. So
you know what would be great?
There's intrigue there.
Yeah, it'd be great if the women's match, and they kind of did it kind of with Rollins and Ambrose, but if they started the match on the top and then they teased that she was going to throw Sasha off the top, but they don't do it, and then they just come back down, and that's just. But that it would just be a fun way to start it, you know. But don't actually throw.
That would
her
be a
off.
Hell. Be a hell
knowing
imagine,
Sasha,
imagine
Sasha's
going
to tell Charlotte
do.
To throw her off.
No, I mean Charlotte might accidentally throw her off because you know she'll just drop her for no reason.
Imagine seeing that. Imagine seeing Sasha fall off the top of the cage.
Oh, she'd be done. She'd be dead.
No,
now
she
at
would
least
die.
The cages aren't. They're not anywhere near as big as they used to be.
What do you mean they're bigger?
They are.
The Hell in a Cell got bigger. What the hell you been watching?
Because seeing Foley fall off, like, I felt like he was falling for like miles.
Well, sure.
Whenever I watched
compared
that.
I'm not saying it was any better, but when Shane jumped off, the cell was way bigger. Because they added feet to it. They added like at least 10 feet to it.
Oh God! Yeah, no, Sasha, don't do it.
It's been like that for 10 years now.
If you're sitting here and you're considering what spots to do for this match, and you just so happen to scroll through the internet and read and listen to this podcast or read the summary and think, oh, I'll listen, don't jump off the cage.
Well, let's be honest. If Sasha was a listener, she'd have a restraining order against Steve right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
only other thing I want to say about Hell in a Cell is if anyone doesn't think New Day is going to retain their tag titles, you're dumb. Because
careful, Benny, they might lose.
They're not. We all
then we're
going to
call you
happen.
A mark again.
We all know what's going to happen. Nah,
we're
it's not even
call you
a
mark again.
Benny, my new name's going to be Benny Mark.
We're going to recreate the opening scene of Carrie when she gets her period, and it's going to be Benny in the shower. We're going to be calling him Mark.
Like, he'll make our heads explode with his angry telekinesis.
every time I talk, you're just going to be like, shame, shame.
Exactly.
Shame. But I don't know. I mean, I think we all kind of know where that's going. But anyway, all right. So that does it for the podcast. Touching a lot of stuff here. We'll be talking to you next week when we do our recap of Hell in a Cell. But for now, you can follow me on
That's
Twitter.
That's not next
at...
week. That's in 2 weeks.
Oh, in 2 weeks. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Come on, Benny. My pen broke. Mind. You don't know when the election is. You don't know when Hell in a Cell is.
It's the 30th.
You're a mark.
Hell in a Cell's the 30th. This is a bad day for Benny.
Mark.
Bad day for Benny. Oh, God. All right. Anyway, in 2 weeks, we'll be doing the recap of Hell in a Cell. 2 weeks. Got to get that right. All right. For now, though, you can follow me on Twitter at Benny on the Radio. At Benny on the Radio, if you wish to. You know, of course, Sean at the _Brack Show. And Steve is at Saiyan Barbarian.
And if you follow me, unfollow me.
Follow him, unfollow him. Anything we want to plug, or are we all good? Oh, definitely go online. Go to our Facebook page. Go to our website. Check out Sean's list of the top 10 Hell in a Cell matches. Entertaining stuff there. It's a great read.
Oh, I almost forgot to plug that one.
Fantastic article. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. You're going to be surprised as to what number one is. I'll tell you that. But I enjoyed the article. Great article there. But once again, if you want to follow us on Twitter, just re-listen to that last part. And for now, we will talk to you later.